Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Good morning, everyone. It's so amazing to be able to share what God has laid on my heart. And this sermon, I believe the Lord laid on my heart a couple of months ago. I was cleaning out my bookshelf because I had to make room, in all honesty, for my Lego stuff. And I thought, which books don't I need? Which books haven't I looked at? And which books should I really read again? And there was one book by the author of Gary Chapman, and he's the author of The Five Love Language. And he wrote another book with a colleague. Her name is Jennifer Thomas. I just want to give them credit for the thoughts. And this is called The Five Languages of Apology. And he will say, if you listen to him, because he does speak about this, that they weren't looking for five. But when in their, they both are counselors, and in their counseling sessions with couples and just people in general, they found that there are five ways that people either apologize or need to hear an apology. And why am I talking about this today? Because it will help us admit wrongdoing. Because when we say to someone, I'm sorry, or the other four ways, we admit wrongdoing. And that's not always an easy thing to do, hey? I know, and depending on your family of origin, where you came from, either you have learned to apologize very well, or apology was never heard, and you never had to practice it. But I know in raising our children, Chris and I, we made sure they would say, I'm sorry. And then the second part of that, the other person saying, I forgive you, was often the very hardest part. So today, we're only going to cover the first three. But before we do, I just want to lay down just a little bit of, perhaps we can call it theology. Because what does the Bible say about that? Is that important? The Bible talks about forgiveness, but in that, which is the last language I'll be covering next week, but we do need to apologize. As Christians, we are instructed to forgive others as God has forgiven us. How does God forgive us? This is what Scripture says, and if you have your app, you can follow along with the notes, or they're up. They will be up on the screen behind me. And I just want to give a big shout out again to Bio, who so faithfully puts on the app notes. And also, I will say to him this morning in front of you all, I am sorry for having sent you not one, not two, but three different drafts. And that made your work much more complicated. So thank you. So Scripture says if we confess our sins, God will forgive our sins. And we can read that in 1 John 9. If we confess our sins, we can say it together if you have your Bible open. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here are some things to ponder when we read that. Nothing in the Old or New Testament indicates that God forgives the sins of people who do not confess and repent their sins. Jesus' teaching is this: we are always be willing to forgive, as God is always willing to forgive those who repent. Now, some may question what I've just said, and they may quote the words of Jesus, because he prayed in the garden, or on the cross, rather, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In this passage, Jesus expressed his heart of compassion and his desire to see his murderers forgiven. And that should be our desire in our heart and our prayer. When I talk further today, I want you to know that I'm talking about what I call the bread and butter of things that can offend us in relationships. I fully realize that some hurts we may have received or some hurts that we may have given to others would require a deeper level, counseling, help from qualified clinicians, even pastoral counseling. I'm talking about today the bread and butter of our relationships. For example, if I have a habit of leaving the cupboard doors open, which I do, Mr. Chris has hit his head on occasion. And in my bad habit of that, I have work to do. So it's those kind of things, or relationships between siblings and mother-father relationships, that not the deep things, but these principles will also help with that, with the help of the Lord. In the above passage, when Jesus prayed that, the forgiveness of the people who crucified came later for some of them when they heard Peter's message in Acts. And with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So when they said before, some would have been in the crowd to say, "Crucify him." But those same people would also have been in the crowd when Peter preached the message. And then they repented because they recognized who Jesus was. Forgiveness without an apology is often encouraged for the benefit of the forgiver rather than the benefit of the offended. And this never leads to reconciliation. And as Christians, we are encouraged to release the person to God for justice when no apology is offered. A verse that will indicate that for us is in Romans 12:19. "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." And when you trust the Lord, you can trust him to do that for you. It is hard to do, but it is a choice for us. But I want, so when you hear what my words this morning, I wonder if you could, rather than thinking about all of the people that offended you and writing the list, if you could put that list aside and just think about, how can I apologize? How do I apologize? And we're going to consider three, the first three. The first one is expressing regret. The second one is accepting responsibility. And the third is making restitution. So, expressing regret. It is simply to say, "I am sorry." Because you feel regret. We want to be sincere. That's another thing. But as Christians, the Holy Spirit will tell us, I think in that conversation something happened. And I think a little emotional wall just came up between me, maybe my spouse, my friend. We will know it because we have the Holy Spirit working in us. So that you will say, "I am sorry." The prodigal son said he regretted what he had done, and then he went to the father and said, "I'm not worthy to be called your son." That's what we read in Luke 15:21. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." I think we need to note that when we offend each other as Christian believers, we're also offending God. What this means is when you say, "I'm sorry," you feel badly. You regret what you did or what you said. But here's a little hint. We do not say, I'm sorry only. We have to tell them what we're sorry for. So Mr. Chris came to me, was it Friday or Saturday, and said, I'm sorry that your soccer team is out of the playoffs. He didn't immediately say, but I'm really happy Holland is still in. He didn't do that. He really, truly expressed regret. And he told me what he was sorry for, that now I couldn't wear my hat and my jersey and all that thing. So it was so kind of him. And another thing we never, never do is say, but. I'm sorry that I left the cupboard doors open, but if your big old head wasn't, if you weren't so tall, you would not be bumping into the cupboard doors. Wrong, right? That doesn't even come close to being sincere. So sincerity is key to all five languages of apology, to all of them. Here are some examples that we can use. I know that I have hurt you very deeply, Mr. Chris, when I left the cupboard doors open for the 10th time. This causes me immense pain. I am truly sorry for what I did. And when you identify your language, this is how to identify the language. How do you apologize, and how do you want to be apologized to? Mr. Chris is the easiest, peasiest person to apologize to, because that's all you have to do. You just have to tell him, I'm sorry. I'll bring a Band-Aid for your head. I don't even have to say, will you forgive me, which is the last language. He'll always say, oh, sure, okay. Here's another example. This is in business. You were promised a service that I have not provided. I'm sorry that our company clearly dropped the ball. You have apologized, and you haven't given any excuse for your behavior. So, why don't we all practice, if we're not in the habit, just right now say, I am sorry. Turn to someone, say, I am sorry. I'm sorry. The second one, now as you will notice, these go deeper and deeper and deeper. The second language of apology is accepting responsibility and not pushing the blame on the other person. We have to learn to admit making mistakes. This time, I want you to practice saying, and this might be really hard for some of us, three little words, I was wrong. Let's do it. I was wrong. And a really big key to this one is, don't leave it at only thinking about being morally wrong. Sometimes we do that. We look at the Ten Commandments and we kind of filter them through our brain. And was it morally wrong to leave the cupboard doors open again and again? No. But did I offend Mr. Chris multiple times? Yes. Or we might truly think, well, I don't believe I was wrong. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you were in argument with your spouse, with your dearly beloved, or a really good friend, and you think, you know what? I don't believe I was wrong about this, even for a second. But if what we did or if what we said hurt the relationship, guess what? It is wrong. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Because sometimes we can't see clearly, or we have developed patterns from our families of origin, or just patterns because we're right fighters, or we really think, no, this is the way it's always been done. I'm right. So we can't see it, But the Holy Spirit will illuminate our hearts and he will show us. Let's look at Psalm 139 together. I bet you know this verse. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Because sometimes we also can get like kind of a false guilt about something, and so our thoughts are anxious about things. So that's why the Holy Spirit, who tells truth, will show us. He will lead us into all truth. And so when you allow him to search you and not your own brain to do all that work, he will lead you into all truth. We might feel like this to someone. I said, I'm sorry. What else do you need, Kathy? That's not enough for you, is it? And you know what the truth is? The simple answer is no. It is not enough for the person whose language of apology is accepting responsibility. It truly isn't. And what I want to encourage you to do, first of all, identify your own language of apology, and then perhaps learn the other person's. Because I'm way more complicated than Mr. Chris. All the men would probably say, I believe it. But in our relationship, when we discussed these points, I had to discover about myself, okay, that is Mr. Chris's language of apology. I need to learn that. And I need to be satisfied that if he comes to me and says, I am sorry, that he truly meant that, he was sincere, and I have to learn his language as he is so graciously learning mine. That's what we do in relationships, because we can't say, well, you're wrong about your language, and why do you have to be so complicated, Chrissy? You know, he doesn't do that. Well, maybe in the past we've had our little, you know, let's figure this out. And these concepts have truly helped us give more grace to each other. Now, there's a little caution. Again, think of yourself, only yourself. Some of us may have learned the power of anger and unforgiveness. You know, that's a choice, not always a conscious choice, but that's how we have learned to operate. That is why it is so important as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that we allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Another reason might be, you know, we feel that we have been hurt so many times, we don't want to be hurt again. And in the relationship prior to everything, you don't have a good role model of how things can be different. But this is what I want us to think about today. Think about first your own part. Admit to God and the other person that you need help. If you really struggle with something, like I do with the cupboards, you know, say to Chris, you know what, I need help with that. If we're cooking together, would you please consider, I know I'm wrong, I'm 100% wrong, would you help this little scatterbrain and maybe come along behind me and help me close the cupboard doors? We have to have a humble attitude. And we have to show compassion to the offender in their weakness. If someone comes to you and they've accepted responsibility, but you know, you and I both, the both of you know that's going to be hard for that person to change, show them compassion. Pray that they can win victory over this. Galatians tells us exactly to do that. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remembering always, we are all sinners in need of God's grace. Here are some statements of accepting responsibility examples. I repeated a mistake that we have discussed before. I really messed up. I know it was my fault. Or, I know that what I did was wrong. I could try to excuse myself, But there are no excuses. Pure and simple. What I did was selfish and wrong. You know what these statements will do? They will give the offended person a glimpse into your heart. And they will see, oh, they really are sincere. And that will help reestablish the relationship. Because when offense has occurred, even momentary, the relationship has broken on some level and the relationship cannot move forward. So when we accept responsibility for our own behavior and apologize in such a way, the relationship can move forward again. Isn't that good news? I just thought these steps are so wonderful and so practical and so doable with practice. The third one this morning is making restitution, making things right. And when you think of our judicial system and in our human relationships, all of them are deeply influenced by this idea. When you get a speeding ticket and you violated the law, well, they want you to make restitution and pay the fine. Because you traveled on the highway that wasn't yours, and you were speeding, you broke the law. When a wrong has been committed, we all believe, I believe, it should be paid for. For some people who have this language of apology, making restitution, if we don't express the desire to make it right, in their minds, you are not sincere. You may be sincere. I'm not saying you're not. But in their minds, they need that to have that emotional fulfillment. They are waiting for you to make it right. And guess what? They will often have an idea how to make it right. So sometimes, if you're a guy, you might think, I'll just bring flowers. They might work for some situations, but not for all. Or I would think, okay, I messed up today, so tonight I'm going to let Mr. Chris have the remote control all night. That might not be the answer to that, making restitution. But when we do that, they will sense our sincerity, and it's not just words, but there's actions behind the words. So very practical again. Making restitution is the love language of the other person. It fulfills their emotional need expressed in acts of service. Zacchaeus is a prime biblical example of this. We read part of his story in Luke 19. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Genuine repentance is choosing to change our behavior and showing a willingness to change, like eating humble pie. 1 Peter 5:8 shows us that as well. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And you know what? When we ask the Lord to help us, he will not shame us. He will help us and help us to restore broken relationships. There's a plan with this one, though. You have to take practical steps. It begins with the expression of intent to change. It begins in the heart. And then you tell the other person, like I would come to Mr. Chris and say, "I don't like the fact that I have hurt you by leaving the cupboard doors open and you've hit your head too many times. I decided, Mr. Chris, with God's help, that I will change." And then he will say to me, What's the plan, honey? What's the plan, honey? And I'll say, "I will post a note that says, I will close cupboard doors." Simple, maybe kind of a silly thing, but implement a plan. Now, apologies may fail often to restore relationships because there's a lack of a plan for implementing changes, for making positive changes. No plan equals no commitment in this apology language. And the other person cannot read your mind. You have to tell them what you're doing. Not, "Ooh, I'll surprise them." No, no. It's happened too many times. I take full responsibility. I will make restitution. And then would you start thinking about what the other person needs, not what we think they need? I might think, well, if the cupboard doors were brand new, I think I wouldn't leave the cupboard doors open. So I'm going to tell Mr. Chris my plan for not to leave the cupboard doors open would be to have brand new cupboards. That is not a work project that he would need. I would have to ask him to say, when I give you this plan, is that what you need me to do? And he will probably have an idea. He'll have a better idea than I have because I wasn't hurt by that. He was. So ask the other person, identify what their needs are. Here are statements of making restitution. Mr. Chris, is there anything I can do to make up for what I have done? Or, I don't feel right just saying, I'm sorry. I want to make up for what I've done. What would be appropriate? These are all statements to give us tools in the toolbox. I want us to gain a really deep understanding of ourselves and be willing to learn the other person's language of apology. They were very simple today. The other two are in our notes. What we can look forward to is genuinely repenting and then requesting forgiveness. Those two go a little deeper, and they're hard to do. But why don't we just for a moment, as I call the worship team up, practice saying, I am sorry. Let's say it. I am sorry. I was wrong. What can I do to make this better? Let's do one more time, all three together. I am sorry. I was wrong. What can I do to make this better? Because in our relationships, you know what the Bible says? That they will know us by our love. And when they see a people of God freely saying, I was wrong, I'm sorry, and walking in restored relationships with spouses, with siblings, with friends, with children, isn't that going to be such a wonderful sign that they will know us, that we are Christians by our love? Because we will do this in humbleness, and we will learn that we can admit when we're wrong. That's okay, because the Holy Spirit will help us make it right. We're going to have three prayer moments. We're going to close this part, and I'm going to pray for us that we can perhaps go to someone and tell them that we were sorry, that we were wrong, that we accept responsibility for the broken relationship. And then we're going to give the invitation for salvation and pray. And then I'm going to lead us into communion. And what I want you to know, if the Holy Spirit shows you something that you have to make right with someone, the table of the Lord, don't not take it. Because right now in this moment, we're going to pray to ask the Lord to help us walk in restored relationship. And then the table of the Lord is a feast for us to receive so much blessing. So why don't we close our eyes online and at home. And if you're at home, you can also take this moment to prepare for communion as well. Father, we have We have looked at our hearts. We have looked at practical ways we can admit wrongdoing. Father, for some of us who grew up in homes where there was never even a hint of a language of apology, we might not have ever learned ways to do that. But I pray that in these moments, you would help us to see, first of all, how we apologize or how we don't tell others we are sorry, and that you would just give us the courage, because by your Holy Spirit, you will make us bold to go to others and just tell them that we are sorry or that we are wrong and that we accept responsibility. And I pray that all over this auditorium and for families online, that these would be moments of victory, moments of restored relationships, because we want to be those that others can point to and say, oh, by their love, we know that they follow Christ Jesus. I pray that you would help us utter those words, that we would loosen our tongues if we need them loosened. And I pray also that you would take away any shame or guilt, but that this would be a point of freedom for your people, Lord God. I thank you that, Holy Spirit, you're always teaching us to go deeper and deeper, but in such a way that we're not weighed down, but that we are, that we can be like, have senses of chains falling off us and to walk in freedom. So I pray a blessing on my dear friends who will hear these words, that you will give them the freedom to walk humbly with others. And when we have been wrong, that we would be able to say those words with joy in our hearts, knowing that you will help us walk in relationships that are restored. And I ask that in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, when we were singing the song earlier, one line just jumped out at me, and that was the line, "When I needed you most." It was about the Lord calling and showing up in our life. And if you've heard these words and all of a sudden you just, for me that happened when I was 5 years old. I had a wonderful moment with God. I was walking in between my mom and dad. I was just a little girl holding both their hands, and I heard the God of the universe calling me. And I didn't even tell my parents. But in that moment, I just believed that God was my father. And later on, I learned about Jesus, but that was my moment. And that, you know what? A couple of years later, they divorced. But I had that when I needed him most. And in this moment, if you are hearing these words and you think, oh God, I need you, I don't even know if you're there, but he is there. And if you feel that in your heart, then he is calling you. And this invitation to salvation is so easy. But I want to tell you and reassure you what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world and each of us, we can say our own names, through him might be saved. When we do that, we will realize we're not only his creation, we become his sons and daughters, we become his children. And so this reconciliation starts in an essence with an apology to God. And we say to God, we're sorry. We admit that we're a sinner. That is telling God, I'm sorry for my wrongdoing, and I will accept the forgiveness so freely offered to me. And then when we do that, that's wonderful news. We have to realize that God is the one who came up with a plan And he took action to bring us back into relationship with him. He sent Jesus, his only son, to pay for our sins. That's the restitution part. In this relationship, we can't do that. But God did it for us. And then the B, which comes after that, is believe. Believe that Jesus died and rose to pay for your sins, my sins. He's the only one who could make restitution. We can't, but he did that for you. And then when you believe that in your heart, you just confess, just say, yes, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. You are the Lord of my life. You put your trust in Jesus as the only hope of salvation. You tell others and you tell God. If you say this prayer with me, you are telling God. But then, please tell the good news to someone else, because we will come alongside of you and help you grow in the Lord. So let's put our eyes and our hearts towards Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you for forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me and for the gift of eternal life with you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, if you've said that prayer, I'm going to invite you to participate at the Lord's table. It's something we do, and Shauna mentioned baptism. That's another thing we do when we accept Jesus in our heart. You can do the one thing now, participate at the Lord's table, and then at the end of the month, you can get baptized and participate in that as well. Jesus set a table for us. And when we read the passage, he said, we are to remember him. We remember the price he paid. But would you know that he paid the price with such a huge, huge heart of love for you? Because he wants to restore a relationship between us. So we're going to participate in communion. Understand we are not perfect, but forgiveness is freely offered when we confess our wrongdoing. Examine your hearts and ask the Lord. Do you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness? But not only that, when we participate of the broken body and of the wine, we can also ask the Lord to restore broken bodies, because on the cross he said, it is finished. He had victory completely over hell and sin and death, and we can celebrate that. We remember the price he paid, but it's also a table of celebration of the victory. So let's read the passage in 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you. So, Father, as we partake of the broken body, I pray for all those who are present here, who are present online, and those who might tune into the service later, that your healing power would touch their bodies. Where there's sickness, there will be wholeness, Lord Jesus, because of your broken body. You bring wholeness and healing to us. Where there's broken and relationships, you will restore them. Because at one point, Jesus, you said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because for a moment, God turned his head because you carried all the brokenness on your body. But you are sitting at the right hand of your Father in glory, and you reconciled us to God. We thank you for that. And so we know that any broken relationship, any brokenness of spirit and mind, there's victory. So I pray for all of us who have heavy, heavy burdens, that you would lift them, because they know, Jesus, you have fought for the victory and have brought the victory. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your broken body. And then we read on. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So thank you, Father, that there's a new covenant between us, a covenant that gives us hope and restoration. And I thank you also that when we do this, we can look into the heavens and say, "Jesus, you're coming back soon for us." And we thank you for that. That is good, good news. Father God, I pray for everyone here who doesn't have hope, when the world seems to crash around, that they would know that Jesus is coming. And that even now you are Lord of this earth. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. And we have nothing to fear, because we are walking with you in victory. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that no one would leave this table not feeling that they have not been heard, because you hear and you answer our prayer. I pray that for every need, spoken and unspoken, so deep that we don't even can't utter it ourselves, that you would heal us and have us be the people that would walk out of here delivered and free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.